Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
If you'll take your bulletins and find the notes that are inside of there, pull them out. We're on the last message of the series on forgiveness. Now, you're going to notice that when you pull out that bulletin, it's pretty crowded, isn't it, those notes? The lettering's small. There's a lot of scripture. Why do I do that? Very simple. When I'm done this morning, I don't want you to be able to say, well, that's his opinion. All right? You might not like what I have to say today, but you're not going to be able to say that's his opinion. I want you to have to confront the idea, well, look, if I don't like this, I have to take that up with God. True? Okay. Why is it we have a hard time forgiving? One of the main reasons we struggle with forgiveness is because of our critical nature. We're going to talk about how to not be judgmental. Ouch. Luke 6:37. Stop judging others and you will not be judged. Stop criticizing others or it will come back on you. If you forgive others, you will be forgiven. Notice how he ties all of that together in that verse. Now, what does it mean to be judgmental? Well, if you're a critical person, you're a judgmental person. If you're a negative person, you're a judgmental person. We make judgments all the time. You made a judgment this morning on what you decided to wear. You picked that out of the closet or off the floor, wherever you keep your stuff, and you decided, I'll put this on. I think this will look good. Some of you, you did a great job. Others of you, you should have asked somebody else, right? Sometimes I have to ask, I get asked, does this look okay? You know, that just the way it works. You'll make a judgment later when you go out and decide where to eat. When you choose to ignore a situation or you choose to ignore a person, you've made a judgment. We make judgments every day. And today we're going to talk about judgment when it comes to other people, the decisions you make that affect others. When you do this, judgmental people become a referee. They become the umpire. They become the judge. They assume the position of authority over somebody. You announce an opinion concerning right or wrong. You make a decision. You pass a verdict. You assign a punishment. That's a judgmental person. That's a critical person. And the Bible is very, very clear. We are not to be judgmental, and we are not to be critical people when it comes to other people. Romans 14:8. While we live to please the Lord, and when we die, we go to be with the Lord. So in life and death, we belong to the Lord. Christ died, rose again for this very purpose, so that he might be the Lord of those who are alive and those who have died. So why do you condemn another Christian? Why do you look down on another Christian? Remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me and every tongue will confess alliance to God. Yes, each of us will have to give a personal account to God. So don't condemn each other anymore. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not put an obstacle in another Christian's path. Now, throughout the scriptures, especially the New Testament, when the Bible's talking about judgment and being critical, it is very, very clear that it really has to do with other believers, other people that are called Christians. So I have to understand that I don't have a right to judge other people, that one day I will give a personal account for me. When I stand before God, I don't get to say, God, I need to tell you what they did. God, I need to tell you what they're like. God, this person behind me, just in case, don't let them snow you. God, I know what they're like. I don't get to do that, do I? Okay, it's going to be really quiet this morning, I have a feeling. That's okay, we'll go with it. Now, is it ever right to judge? No. No. Not when it comes to, put the no in there. When is it not right to judge? When it's my personal opinions. Now, here's what we know about ourselves. We have opinions about everything, don't we? There's a big difference between an opinion and a fact. The problem gets to be that many people think their opinions are facts, and they're not. It's just your opinion. Well, this is how I feel about this. This is what I think about this. That's great, but it's not a fact. And when you begin to judge other people because their opinion doesn't match your opinion, well, what do you think about this? Really, you think that? Boy, are you off the wall. Man, are you wrong? Why, are you ungodly? You can't think that way about that. Who says? I do. You have to think like this. That's a personal opinion, isn't it? You've got a lot of opinions. That's fine. Just don't hold everybody else to them. Just don't think your opinions are factual. It's your opinion. Secondly, never write to judge when it's private convictions. Every one of us in this room have sins that we think are big sins. Well, I think this is a real big issue. I think this is a big issue. Well, I think this is the big issue. I think this is really what's big. But you know what? Somebody else might not think that's as big of an issue as you do, correct? Sin is sin. And we all have convictions. There's things in my life that God's dealing with me about, just that's just for me and nobody else. And you see, when God starts dealing with about stuff, what do? We start putting the convictions that God is dealing with us about onto somebody else. Well, I don't think a Christian should ever do that. That's your conviction. We're going to read about it later. There's a huge issue in the New Testament church in Corinth because over the deal of who's going to eat the meat sacrificed to idols. It became huge. It was splitting the church. Why? Because some people had some convictions you shouldn't do it. And other people had convictions it was okay. That was their personal convictions. And Paul writes to these people and to the Christian, don't allow what you think is right and wrong to affect somebody else. That's your deal. Never write to judge somebody else when it's my conviction. All right? Thirdly, never write to judge when there's personality differences. Personality differences. How many of you understand that you have a personality different from everybody else? How many understand that your personality is weird? Right? Compared to me, boy, people are weird. You ever said that? That's your opinion, isn't it? You've now become a judge, haven't you? Never write when it's a personality difference. Our personalities are different from everybody else. And that's the way God made us. And so it's never right for me to judge in these three areas. Never. James 4:11. Don't speak evil against each other, my dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize each other and condemn each other, then you're criticizing and condemning God's law. But you're not a judge who can decide whether the law is right or wrong. Your job's to obey it. Boy, now that's a great perspective, isn't it? Hello? Okay. God alone, who made the law, can rightly judge among us. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to condemn your neighbor? None. Romans 14:1. Except Christians who are weak in the faith. Don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Now, notice, who's he writing to? Christians. Who's he talking about? Don't do this with other Christians. Verse 3, those who think it's all right to eat anything, remember I told you there's the problem, must not look down on those who won't. And those who won't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn God's servants? They're responsible to the Lord, so let him tell them whether they're right or wrong. The Lord's power will help them do as they should. Now here's what you need to understand from that verse right there. You are not the Holy Spirit in somebody else's life. Okay? God says, I can tell them what's right and wrong. You don't need to. I'm going to use this phrase again. It's none of your business. All right? See, when it becomes my business, now I have a problem with forgiveness, don't I? Because why? I've made critical decisions about everybody. And if somebody doesn't even know they've done it, they're just being who they are, but I think they've done it purposely, then I get offended, and what's gone the problem there? The problem's been me all the time, hasn't it? Okay. Is it ever right to judge? No. Second one there. Is it ever right to judge? Yes. I know. It sounds like I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth, doesn't it? You've become very critical now, haven't you? Never mind. We'll just go on. When is it ever right to judge? First of all, improper doctrine. Improper doctrine. When somebody has doctrine that's wrong, I need to know it. And I need to not agree to it. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really wolves that will tear you apart. You can detect them by the way they act. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you don't pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. If a healthy tree produces good fruit, an unhealthy tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. Bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by what the kind of fruit that is produced. Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. On judgment day, many will tell me, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Go away. The things you did were unauthorized. Now, that's the right thing to judge. I remember many, many years ago, I've had it happen two or three times in ministry, that I've had to go to somebody who is in the church and say to them, what you're talking and what you're saying is wrong doctrine, and we don't accept that here, and you're not allowed to talk about it here. Oh, you can't judge me. I said, yes, I can. I'm seeing the fruit of your life, and I'm seeing the message that you're given, and it's bringing confusion and disruption, and it's wrong, and you need to stop it, and if you're not willing to stop it, you need to leave. That's simple. When it's wrong doctrine, my responsibility, I'm going to talk about that in a moment, is to take care of that. So we don't put up with wrong doctrine. We don't just buy into everything. Now, please hear me. Every person in this room has something that you believe about God that's screwy. Okay? You've got your little idea over here that you think this is the way it is. We're not talking about that. None of us have it exactly right, do we? Smile with me. Do something. Come on. We don't have it exactly right. We've all got our little ideas, don't we? We're talking about somebody here who is blatant, disruptive, saying, I've done this, and it's a deception, people, that hurts people. So, 1 John 4:1, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if that spirit that they have come from, that comes from God. There's many false prophets in the world. This is the way to find out if they have the Spirit of God. If a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being, that person is the Spirit of God. If a prophet does not acknowledge Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of Antichrist. You have heard that he is going to come into this world, and he's already here. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. You see, well, they just have to say Jesus is Lord. Now, that's not what the verse is saying, a little bit different here. How do we just say earlier, how do I crown God king? How do I surrender my life to him? I give my life and I obey him, right? Luke 6:46, here's what Jesus said. Why do you call me Lord and you don't obey me? And someone's trying to talk and they're not in obedience to God and with what God's word says, it doesn't matter how good they sound. Don't be deceived. So is it ever right to judge? Yes, when it's improper doctrine. Secondly, is it ever right to judge? Yes, when it's immoral or improper behavior. Immoral or improper behavior. 1 Corinthians 5:1. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Something so evil that even the pagans won't do it. I'm told that you have a man in your church who's living in sin with his father's wife. Stepmother. You're so proud of yourselves. Why aren't you mourning in sorrow and shame? Why haven't you removed this man from your fellowship? Even though I'm not there with you in person, I'm with you in the spirit concerning the one who's done this. I've already passed judgment. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you are to call a meeting of the church, and I'll be there in spirit. And the power of the Lord Jesus will be with you as you meet. Then you must cast this man out of the church into Satan's hand, so that his sinful nature will be destroyed, but he himself will be saved until when the Lord returns. How terrible that you should boast about your spirituality, and yet you let this sort of thing go on. Don't you realize that even if one person is allowed to go on sinning, soon all will be affected? Remove this wicked person from among you so that you can stay pure. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. See, here's a man of the church. Now, this isn't something that was hidden in the background. This is something that was blatantly going on in the church. Everybody knew about it, and everybody tolerated it and said it was okay. And Paul says, take a stand here. He's not telling us to go on a witch hunt and try and find anybody who's doing anything immoral in the church and get rid of them. That's not what he's saying. That's not what this is about. What he's saying is, don't you just pride yourself on thinking you're being tolerant. Well, that's a great message for our day and time, isn't it? And when something is going on and somebody is blatantly doing it in your face, don't do it. Don't let it happen. So immoral, improper behavior. There's been times in the church when we've had to go to somebody and say, you know what, your behavior isn't acceptable here. You're not going to act like that. We can't have you doing this. You need to stop. We want you to come, but you can't keep on. They kept on. We went back to them again. You know what? This behavior is not acceptable. We can't allow you to do this. It's divisive. It's causing disruption. If you do this again, if this continues to happen, we're going to ask you to leave. Third time, went back and said, you're leaving. You're not welcome here until you're willing to change behavior. That's something we have to do. Is it right to judge that? You bet it is. You bet it is. Now, what questions should I ask before I judge? Just before you go out, okay, I got this. How many of you understand a little knowledge suddenly becomes dangerous in people's hands? I want to give you some criteria for how you have to deal with judgment. What questions do I need to ask myself before I judge? Or, here, let me put it to you another way for some of you. What questions should I consider before I confront somebody? Okay, same difference. First question, is it my responsibility? Is it my responsibility? You see, the illustrations that I gave to you earlier that I've had to do over the years in the church, that was my responsibility, wasn't it? It wasn't yours. It was mine. I'm the one responsible. If you're a boss and your employees start trying to run your business for you and try to tell you what to do, and you have them going and doing their own thing, and, well, I want to do it this way, and I want to do it this way. Do you, as a boss, have the responsibility to go and to, no, this is not the way it's going to be. This is not right. This is not how it's going to happen. If you're a parent, you have the responsibility to make judgments about your kids' behavior. It's your job. It's your task. See, kids are always wanting to be the boss, aren't they? Told the story before. Let me tell it again. It's one of my favorites because I just love it. It was funny to me. My children didn't think it was funny when I was done with them, but I thought it was hilarious. Okay? Two of my kids are fighting. I tell one, you stop that. You're not his boss. The other one turns, looks at me, puts hands on him, goes, well, I don't know whose boss I am, but I'm somebody's boss. We always want to be the boss, don't we? It's not my responsibility. And if it's not your responsibility, just shut up. Just be quiet. It's not your place. It's not my place to discipline your kids. That's your job. I don't think they're disciplined right. You know what? That's none of your business. Well, I don't think they're raising their... None of your... Not your job. If it's not your responsibility, butt out. 1 Corinthians 5:12. Here's what Paul says when he's talking to that church. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your job to judge those inside the church who are sinning in those ways. God will judge those on the outside, but as scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. Responsibility. Whose responsibility is it? So you need to ask yourself, is it my responsibility? Is it my place? Am I the one responsible to take care of this? Now, if you've got a friend, and that friend is going down a path that's wrong, is it your responsibility to have a talk with them? Sure. You're a friend. You're just going to warn them. You're not going to pass judgment on them, correct? World of difference. Number two. Second question I ask, do I have a right reason? What is my motive? Why am I doing this? We're not to condemn anybody. Here's what we need to understand. You don't know another person's motives. That's why God's the only judge. He's the only one that knows motives. He's the only one that knows heart. You and I don't know that. So when I'm being critical, do I have the right reason for doing this? Because you see, if you're going to make a judgment, it's never about getting even. We've already talked about that, haven't we? Vengeance is God's, right? He's going to take care of things, correct? It's never about getting justice. That's God's job, not yours. Many times, here's our biggest problem. I just want to be right. I want to be right. James 2:12. So whenever you speak or whatever you do, remember that you'll be judged by the law of love, the law that sets people free, that sets you free. For there will be no mercy for you if you have not been merciful to others. But if you have been merciful, then God's mercy towards you will win out over his judgment against you. You see, here's the question. Is this really about me, or do I really care for that person? Do I really care about someone? Remember the instances that I talked about earlier, I used as illustration? I understand that sometimes what people look at is, well, Pastor, you didn't do that quick enough. Well, you see, my motive is not to kick somebody out. My motive is to restore. And when you have a motive that says, I want to do this to help this person, you do it differently than this. You're just out to be right, don't you? Third question, am I willing to be a part of restoration? Am I willing to be a part of restoration? Righteous judgment always wants to bring another person closer to God. You don't just spout off, unload, walk away. You don't just pull out the six shooters, unload the gun on them, and then walk away and say, see you later. Hope you receive this with the love I intended to give it to you with. You don't do that. You see, if you want to be judgmental and critical about somebody, is it your responsibility? Well, yeah, it is. Do you have a motive? Yeah, I really want to see this person turned around. Okay, now are you willing to be a part of the solution? Are you willing to invest the time and the energy that it's going to take for this to happen? Do you really care enough that you're willing to invest yourself into this person's life so that something can be done in a positive nature to help them and restore them? And if you're not willing to do that, then you have no right to judge and be critical. Correct? That's exactly right. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, a lot of people probably don't even know this. Paul writes, again, about the same man we just read about when he said, kick him out of the church. Remember? We just read about that. Now, here he is again in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. I'm not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt your entire church more than he hurt me. He was punished enough. He was punished enough when most of you were united in your judgment against him. Notice, most of you. There's always some, isn't there? Hello? Okay. Now it's time to forgive him and comfort him. Otherwise, he may become too discouraged and he won't be able to recover. Now show him that you still love him. I wrote to you as I did to find out how far you would go in obeying me. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive him for whatever is to be forgiven, Paul said, I'm not there, I don't know. I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we're very familiar with his evil schemes. You see, whenever you have to confront somebody, whenever I did that, there's always been a way to be restored. We're more than willing to restore. We're not going to let this happen. And if you're willing, we're willing to restore. And see, what Paul says, okay, the man repented, things have changed, now welcome him back and love him. Now, we'd have a hard time with that, wouldn't we? Well, you know, that guy goes to their church there. Oh, that's horrible. Well, that was the past. But you see, God's a forgiving God, isn't he? And we are out to restore people, not to condemn people. God is not a condemning God, and neither are we. Galatians 6:1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another Christian is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help somebody in need, you're only fooling yourself. You're really a nobody. Be sure to do what you should, for then you'll enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done your work well, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. You know what I've learned? The most critical people are many times the people who really need to make an adjustment in how they live. It's easy for us to say, well, you know what, I'm not all I should be, but neither are they. And before you start dealing with them, you need to deal with yourself, which is our next point. Have I considered my righteousness? Before I'm going to confront anybody, before I'm going to deal with anything, is it my responsibility? Am I the one responsible to do this? Do I have a right reason for it? What are my motives? Why do I want to do this? Am I willing to be a part of the restoration? Am I willing to be a part of helping things get back? And then, what about me? How am I doing? Do I see clearly? Matthew 7:1, stop judging others and you will not be judged. For others will treat you as you treat them. Whatever measure you use in judging others, it will be used to measure how you are judged. Ouch. Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a big log, have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log from your own eye, and then perhaps you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't give what is holy to unholy people. Don't give pearls to swine. They'll trample the pearls and turn and attack you. See, I need to look at myself first. I got to look at the areas in my life, not just the areas in the other person's life. I got to deal with my own. And if I'm willing to deal with mine, that makes me qualified to help deal with other people's. If I'm not dealing with my issues, I need to not deal with anybody else because I've got to take care of me. Now, hear me. There's always you and I dealing with our issues, isn't there? He's not talking here about being perfect. He's just talking about, you know, before you see somebody else's faults, do you see your own? Because if you see your own, that brings humility into the equation, doesn't it? And when I walk in humility, I'm going to deal humbly with other people, aren't I? I'm not going to set myself up as above them. I'm going to understand that there but for the grace of God is me. And I'm going to deal with that differently, aren't I? Well, Pastor, if I can't judge, what's my response? Well, first of all, I was not saying not judge. We said there's times to do that, but you need to go through the criteria first. The two responses that you and I need to put into place in our life. Number one is separation. Separation. Thank God for the rain, huh? Okay. 1 Corinthians 5:9. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or who are greedy, who are swindlers, or idol worship. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. See, he said, I'm not talking about everybody here because if I am, you don't have any friends in the world and you're going to be all alone. Right? What I meant was that you're not to associate with anyone who claims to be a Christian yet indulges in sexual sin or is greedy or worships idols or abusive or a drunkard or a swindler. Don't even eat with such people like that. Now again, it's not a witch hunt where you go look at, oh, I can't eat with that person, they're immoral. I can't eat with that person, they're a drunkard. I can't. It's not saying that. Everyone has battles in their life that they're dealing with spiritually, don't they? Everyone has issues that they're trying to overcome. Those are not the type of Christian. Notice we're just talking about Christians here. Those are not the type of Christians we need to associate from. What we disassociate ourselves from. What he's talking about here is the person who's flaunting it in front of you, who knows it and says, I don't care, but yet calls themselves a Christian. He says, when you get around that type of person, that arrogant person who is going to do what they're going to do and they don't care what you say or anybody else says, and they're not even striving to be who God wants them to be, and they're just flaunting it in front of everybody else and says, take it or leave it, you leave it. You just quietly stay away. Quietly. You don't go up to somebody else. Well, I just want you to know. I want you to pray about it. We're not going to hang around that person anymore. We can't be with them. You know they're a drunkard. You know they're a swindler. You don't do that, do you? Do you? Okay. Separation. Secondly, silence. Silence. 1 Peter 2:23, he did not retaliate when he was insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. I just need to be quiet. I need to be quiet. I don't need to pass judgment or be critical on all the things going on around about me. I just need to be quiet. So those are ways I handle things. You know what? God will take care of that. God's in control. God will speak into their lives. God knows how to deal with those things. God will take care of that. I'm not going to allow my life to be influenced by that. But I know God's in charge here, and God's going to do what he can. Now that means I still have to deal with people, correct? That means that I still have relationships. But when I'm a judgmental person, I really have struggles with forgiveness because I'm so critical of everything. And God doesn't want us to be critical people. Agreed? 1 Corinthians 4:3 and 5. What about me? Paul's writing. Have I been faithful? Well, it matters very little what you or anyone else thinks. I don't even trust myself with my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that really isn't what matters. It's the Lord himself will examine me and decide. So be careful not to jump to conclusions before the Lord returns as to whether or not someone is faithful. When the Lord comes, he'll bring out our deepest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives, and then God will give everyone whatever praise is due. I'm to take care of me. I'm to be the person God wants me to be, and I can't be that person unless I have relationships with other people. And if I'm going to be a critical person, I'll never find anybody I can get along with because I'll always find faults in other people. Unfortunately, I'm good at finding faults sometimes in other people, but not in me. Anybody relate to that? Be clear, oh, they got this problem, this one. Well, what about my problems? Well, they got, what about my problems? You see, it's very easy to look at everybody else and say, well, you know, but you and I have to overlook things. There's times for judgment, but am I responsible? And I need to live my life with love for my brother and sisters in Christ. And I can't do that if I'm a judgmental, critical person. Agreed? Now, if you don't like this, not my fault, not my opinion, God's word. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.